morning. Beloveds, I invite you to rise in a body or in spirit. Dear ones, I bring you the sad news of the death of Jan Monsma. Jan died on Thursday morning at Brooksby Village in Peabody. Jan was a long time and beloved member of this church, founder of the Care and Support Committee, faithful servant of Christ, and beloved child of God. Friends, precious in the sight of God is the death of his saints, for they rest from their labors. Amen. Friends, I invite you to continue to stand and to join me in our call to worship. I will read the non-bolded words, and I invite you to join me in the bolded ones. Behold, for God meets us here, in the mixed blessing of being alive, in our deepest grief and our most profound joy. The Spirit does not shy away. In our shakiest steps forward and in every new direction, Christ will meet us there. In what we have known and in what we yet cannot see, our God is already at work. Rejoice, for there is nowhere we can go where the love of God is not. Amen.
Thank you.
ones, Jesus left us with a peace beyond understanding, which the world did not give and so cannot take away. It is a peace which longs to be shared. May the peace of Christ be with you. I invite you to greet one another in Christ's peace. Welcome, friends. Welcome to festival worship here at Old South Church in Boston. We're so glad that you have joined us this Sunday as we gather together to worship the living God. Here at Old South, we want to be a place where everyone can find belonging. People of all ages and stages, all racialized identities and abilities, all nationalities and ethnicities, whether this is your first time in a church ever or not even your first time in this church this week. We're honored and glad that you are here because it is only together that we can reflect the image of God that is the church. We want to know who is worshiping with us, and the easiest way to do that is to find the black friendship pads that should be in every row, to open them up, to find a pen and a pad, and to let us know a little bit about who you are and the journey that brought you in these doors this morning. One of the things that I noticed this morning is that there is a little bit of fall energy in the air. It's just like a little bit crisp. The humidity's broken a tiny bit. Ashley's very bummed about it, but the good news about the seasons changing is that that means that our fall retreat is coming up. It's going to be October 2nd to 4th this year, and we'll be headed to Craigville for a weekend of rest and connection and games and s'mores and everything that you love about a weekend away with your beloveds. You can find more information about how to register in your bulletin, but we invite you to please, please join us in Craigville in October. Friends, with all of that said, let us now continue in worship with our anthem, Christ is Made the Sure Foundation.
Christ is made the sure foundation, Christ our head and cornerstone. Kate, do you remember the first teacher you ever had? I don't really remember my preschool teachers, but my first grade teacher was named Mrs. Thompson. She was kind and patient and also helped us to learn how to follow the rules because kindergarten was a year of learning how to be in elementary school, like a big kid. Think about the people who were your teachers and some of the things that they taught you. Maybe somebody was really kind or really funny. Maybe someone led you through a really cool project or read a really creative book to you. When you spend so much time with a teacher or leader, you not only learn from them, you learn about them, and they become a part of your story too. Here at Old South, we are a teaching congregation. This means that our congregation intentionally invites people who are new to ministry to spend a year or two working with us, practicing ministry as our pastors. Often, these new ministers are students at one of the local seminaries, and sometimes a student will be invited to stay on for a second year of work with us. The wonderful thing about being a teaching congregation is that we get to meet and learn from so many new faces. These pastors help to lead worship, they preach, they teach, they serve communion, and sometimes even perform baptisms. And inevitably, we have to say goodbye to these cool pastors whom we have learned so much from. In the past few years, you may remember Pastor Gracie or Pastor Justin. Or if you're a little older, maybe you remember Pastors Amo, Thomas, or Howard. And I'm sure most of you remember Pastor Nancy and Pastor Sean, who weren't students, but they were our pastors who retired or moved on to another workplace. We have been so lucky to have known and loved so many wonderful pastors. They became a part of our story, and we became a part of theirs. Well, today, we are sending one more pastor out into the world because Pastor Kat's time with us is ending. She's finished her schooling and is ready to figure out where God is calling her next. And even though she won't be here at Old South anymore, she will forever be a part of our story, and we will be a part of hers. In September, we'll be ready to meet someone new, a new pastor who will teach with us for a while and learn from us for a while. A new pastor to love and to laugh with. It's a holy thing to be able to welcome someone new and still hold on to the lessons and love for the person who just left. It takes a really big-hearted people and people who trust that God is at work. Will you pray with me? Dear God, thank you for the amazing and wonderful pastors that you've called to this church. Thank you for the lessons they taught us and for the impact their stories continue to have on our faith. We pray your blessings on Pastor Kat as she heads out following your call. Please guide her and protect her and help us to provide a soft welcome for our next student pastor. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, and we all say, Amen.
Today's scripture reading is a selection of verses from 1 Samuel chapter 20. It reads, David got out of Naoth in Ramah alive and went to Jonathan. What do I do now? What wrong have I inflicted on your father that makes him so determined to kill me? Nothing, said Jonathan. You've done nothing wrong, and you're not going to die. Really, you're not. My father tells me everything. He does nothing, whether big or little, without confiding in me. So why would he do this behind my back? It can't be. But David said, your father knows that we are the best of friends, but it's true. As sure as God lives, and as sure as you're alive before me right now, he's determined to kill me. Jonathan said, tell me what you have in mind. I'll do anything for you. If I get the slightest hint that my father is fixated on killing you, I'll tell you. David asked, and whom will you get to tell me if your father comes back with a harsh answer? Come outside, said Jonathan. Let's go to the field. Jonathan then laid out his plan. Tomorrow is the new moon, and you'll be missed when you don't show up for dinner. On the third day, when they've quit expecting you, come to the place where you hid before and wait beside that big boulder. I'll shoot 3 arrows in the direction of the boulder. Then I'll send off my servant saying, go find the arrows. If I yell after the servant, the arrows are on this side, retrieve them, that's the signal that you can return safely. As God lives, not a thing to fear. But if I yell, the arrows are farther out, then run for it. God wants you out of here. Regarding all the things we've discussed, remember that God's in on this with us to the very end. Once Jonathan was convinced that his father was fixated on killing David, he went to the field for the appointment with David. He had his young servant with him. He told the servant, run and get the arrows I'm about to shoot. The boy started running, and Jonathan shot an arrow way beyond him. As the boy came to the area where the arrow had been shot, Jonathan yelled out, isn't the arrow farther out? He yelled again, hurry, quickly, don't just stand there. Jonathan's servant then picked up the arrow and brought it to the master. The boy, of course, knew nothing of what was going on. Only Jonathan and David knew. Jonathan gave his quiver and bow to the boy and sent him back to town. After the servant was gone, David got up from his hiding place beside the boulder, and then he fell on his face to the ground and bowed 3 times. And then they kissed one another and wept, friend over friend. David wept the more. Jonathan said, go in peace. The two of us have vowed friendship in God's name, saying, God will be the bond between me and you and between my children and your children forever. Then David got up and left, and Jonathan went into the city. These are the words of Scripture. May we be blessed with understanding.
Thank you, Larry. Would you pray with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer for all of our days. Amen. I've had a lot of bad jobs over the years. At one point in college, when I worked at an event space, I was what I can only describe as the human equivalent of a coat rack, carrying the personal possessions of D-list celebrities as they walked the red carpet. Once, I asked one of those almost famous celebrities if there was anything he would like me to hold, and when I reached out my hand to take his things, he spit his gum directly into it. The year I worked at the Kennedy Center for Performing Arts, I was the personal wrangler for Big Bird when Sesame Street won their Kennedy Center honor. This sounded like a lot of fun until I realized the Big Bird puppet is approximately 8 feet, 2 inches tall, and standard doorways are not. That job can be summed up by that night. Just me and a bright yellow, larger-than-life feathered figure trying and failing to maneuver a piece of my childhood through a doorway several feet too small, with me pretending I had any idea what I was doing. I spent another year at the State Department as the 6-person and a 7-person team dedicated exclusively to approving tweets wishing people of different faith traditions a happy holidays online. A whole year of my life dedicated to 2-sentence-long posts on a platform that no longer exists. My final year of college, I worked the Saturday night long shift in the very bottom floor of my campus's library. And I could feel the walls shake as people just above me threw parties and laughed with their friends on the dorm room floors above my head. There are few things quite as humbling as shelving books, while it feels like even the ceiling seems to be having more fun than you are. And the one thing, the one central binding feature that connected all of these jobs was that I wanted to quit. Every last one of them, I wanted to quit. I would spend my days dreaming about a silent, stealthy goodbye, about quickly leaving without a word and hopefully moving on to something better. But this job, I have never wanted to quit. My time as Old South's Nancy S. Taylor resident for mission in the city, though it has come with an admittedly ridiculously long title, it is the best job I've ever had. It is the only job where I could have learned that when our immigrant neighbors need to know what number to call if they see ICE, this church can cut and print approximately 6,000 Luce flyers in an hour, so that those numbers can be plastered across the city for the people who need them most. It is the only job where playing Dungeons and Dragons is actually a part of the gig, because one of you, Larry, spent hours resurrecting an Old South campaign from decades ago so that for one glorious night, members of this church could gather around a table and learn something new. It is the only job where, because of Old South's weekly pushback granting program, I have gotten to email organization after organization doing extraordinary work in this city and say, "Hi, would you like some money to keep doing that?" And no, this is not a scam. I promise this is not a scam. It is the only job that has let me sit beside you while you have told me the stories of your lives, baptized the people you love, worship with you, organize with you, laugh with you, and Sunday after Sunday, watch you make room in these pews and in your lives for whoever comes through our doors. And it is apparently the only job for which I would willingly pack up my entire life, move hundreds of miles away last weekend, and then get back on a plane to Boston just to sleep on my friend's couch so that I could spend one more week worshiping the living God in the presence of you all. And it was worth it. All of it was worth it, because I will never quit loving you, Old South Church. And I hope that some small part of you might not quit remembering me, but it is time. I do not want to quit hearing your stories. I don't want to quit baptizing your loved ones or sitting around those tables with you. I do not particularly want any of this to end. And yet, it is time. It is time because it was always about sending. This position of mine was always about sending, because Old South Church has long understood itself as a teaching parish. And so the goal long before me has always been exactly that, to teach, to teach young ministers how to be ministers, and then to send them out into the world so that they can proclaim the radical love of Jesus that this church has chosen to build its life around. But for you all to do that, to continue being a teaching church where people can learn the ins and outs of proclaiming the good news to a world so desperately in need of hearing it, and for me, to begin the ministry you all have spent all this time and money preparing me for, well, then our time together in this particular configuration has to end. And as hard as it is to say goodbye, how lucky are we, how lucky am I to try to practice saying a good goodbye? Because they do not come often. So often, endings are horrible. A relationship concludes in an exploding fight, and you never see them again. A friendship slowly peters out after a series of unreplied to texts leave you wondering if you did something wrong, if somehow you've upset the person on the other end of the line. And sometimes someone you love is simply gone before you knew you were saying goodbye, and you are left carrying all the things that you thought you would have so much more time to say. It is so seldom that we actually get to practice what it means to end something well. But we, you and I, are at the sending part of our equation. And so it is good for us to talk about it, and it is good for us to see what the book that guides our lives has to say about it. It was always about sending. This encounter between David and Jonathan that Larry read for us this morning. It is a story about two people who love one another deeply, but whose circumstances have made staying together impossible. By the time we meet them here in 1 Samuel chapter 20, David knows he cannot stay. King Saul, his friend Jonathan's father, has become determined to kill him. Jonathan doesn't want to believe it at first. David is his very closest friend. Surely his father would have told him if something was wrong. Surely there must be some other explanation, but David knows there isn't. David knows that even though he would spend every day with Jonathan if he could, it is time for him to go. And so Jonathan, the good friend that he is, wakes up and confronts the reality of what is happening. He cannot control everything, no matter how much he tries. He cannot change the emotions or desires of his father, so he surrenders. Surrenders to the truth of what's happening in front of him. He releases the fantasy that he can stop David from leaving, and he turns his love towards the things he can still do. If his friend cannot stay, then he will send him off well. He will make a plan so that David can leave safely with no confusion about whether or not it is time for him to go. Jonathan crafts an elaborate exit strategy. David will hide until he gets a signal, and if the signal, those three arrows from a bow, land far out in the distance, then it is time for David to go the distance too. It is time for him to go far from this place as quickly as possible. But not before they share one final moment together. David sees the arrows land. He knows what they mean. They both do. And so David comes out of his hiding place, runs to Jonathan, and bows before him in reverence for the friends who will help him go. They slow down. They kiss one another, and they weep friend over friend, with David weeping the more. Even amidst so much, they do not quit on one another. They do not give a sneaky, silent goodbye, running off without a word. They honor their deep bond, the things that have gotten them this far. And they sit in the sadness of knowing that things are about to change. But they don't let that sadness metastasize into bitterness. "Go in peace," Jonathan says. "The two of us have vowed friendship in God's name, saying God will be the bond between me and you and between my children and your children forever." This is their good goodbye. They cannot preserve some hypothetical future they had imagined together. They cannot promise that their paths will not diverge or that everything after this moment will look the way they once hoped it would. But they can refuse to let the grief of the moment erase everything that has been true between them. And so before David goes, they turn their attention to what will remain. They look towards their children, toward the people they love and will love, towards a future that neither of them can control, and they promise that the goodness of this relationship will reach into it anyway. And then David gets up and leaves. Jonathan returns to the city, because in the end, this part of their story, it was always about sending, not holding on forever, but about loving one another well enough that when the moment comes, they can let one another go. I am no David, nor no Jonathan as much as I'd like to be. I've spent more time in my life dreaming of unceremonious exits that take the easy way out than I have of practicing the harder work of saying goodbye well. I've wanted to disappear from the event space where strangers spit gum into my hand. I would have happily left Big Bird halfway through that doorway if it was up to me. I've dreamed of escaping endless holiday tweets in the library basement where the party raged on just above my head in job after job. Leaving was the easy part. I had been rehearsing the moment in my head long before the time ever came. But not here. Old South Church friend over friend, when I depart from you, I will weep the more. God did not write this story for my goodbye alone. Sooner or later, each of us will find ourselves standing where David and Jonathan stand, at the edge of something we cannot keep exactly as it has been. And when that moment comes, perhaps a good goodbye asks the same things of us. Surrender what you cannot control about change. Honor the deep bonds you have shared without letting a time of change become a time of bitterness. And when your paths diverge from someone you have loved, because they will, do what you can to make sure that the love which brought you both this far has somewhere to go. Maybe it will go into the people we will become because we have known one another. Maybe it will go into the people you will love next, because I know you will. Maybe it will go into stories of great laughter and tenderness that we will still tell years from now. Or into the habits of kindness I have learned from you and will carry into places you may never see. But let the love go somewhere. Do not disappear before you have said what mattered. Or pretend that the ending does not hurt simply because it is right. If you can tolerate it, stay long enough to bless what has been, to grieve what will change, and then, when the moment comes, to let one another go in peace. So go in peace. Amen.
Friends, I would invite you to rise as you're able. We'll sing our next hymn. It is number 562 in your black hymnal, Take My Gifts. That is 562.
Thank you.
God be with you. May the Spirit of the living God fall afresh on us.
The Holy Spirit guides our way and ignites our hope.
Let us pray. O most holy and loving God, you who have called us into being, you who have made each of us in your own image, we are grateful that we stand in the midst of a great company of the faithful and amidst a great cloud of witnesses, the Holy Communion of the saints. We remember with love and joy our sister in Jan, who is now with you, who is now yet still celebrating with us, but on a farther shore and in a greater light. We lift our voices together, singing before you, O God, joining our voices to that song first begun by the morning stars. We are grateful, O God, that while we yet draw breath, we may praise you. And we are grateful that simply the end of our breath cannot stop your loving us. And so, O God, as we who live today continue on in our faithful walk, we pray that your Spirit would be with us, that you would attend us in our work, that you would inspire us. Help us, O God, to know which way to go. It is not easy, O God, as we walk through a world filled with heartbreak. It is not easy to know when to open our heart and when to guard our mind. It is not easy to know when to light the fires of righteous anger and when to calm ourselves with a cooling word. O God, it is not always easy. We pray that your wisdom, the wisdom that has stood behind all of creation, pray that your wisdom would be upon each of us in our living, O God, as we work, as we rest, as we pray, as we love. We pray that our lives would be a witness to your glory, that our lives would be a witness to the goodness that you have put in every person. We are grateful, O God, that you have made us each. You have made each of us in your image, and that we need not live alone. And we are grateful too, O God, that though the whole of humanity are your children, you yet love us each with a parent's own dear love. And so we turn to you now, O God, in quiet moments of our hearts, offering before you and you alone these prayers of your people. O God, whatever we do, wherever we go in life, however our spirits wander, we are grateful that we may always pray and pray rightly in your sight, O loving Mother, O gracious Creator. We are grateful we may always pray rightly that prayer which your Son taught us to pray, the Lord's Prayer, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Old South Church in Boston is blessed to be a teaching church. With our location near some of the world's finest seminaries, we delight in taking part in the raising up and sending of the next generation of church leaders. We welcome students who come to us with passion, vigor, excitement. They minister among us and change us. And as bittersweet as it is our job to send them back out into the world to minister beyond our walls.
Kat, come on up. Kat, your gifts for ministry are many. Your sincere faith brings integrity to your preaching and your acumen in pastoral care. Your abiding curiosity keeps you asking good questions, refining your already strong pastoral intuition. Your overflowing, ebullient joy calls attention to the presence of God as she is among us always. We are grateful. We're grateful for all of the ways in which we have been changed by your ministry here among us.
Kat, on behalf of a grateful congregation, we present you with this portable anointing oil set. With it, may you bring the healing balm of Christ's mercy everywhere you go. And we hope you know that we go with you.
Friends, I would invite you to raise your hands in a posture of blessing over Kat as we pray God's blessing down. Let us pray. Oh God, we give you thanks for Kat, for the expression of faith uniquely hers, for the depth of her faith, for her curiosity and resilience, for her willingness to work and laugh and pray alongside us, for the indelible mark she has made on our church. God, we give you thanks.
We pray that you will guide Kat in her journey. Be with her in her new household of faith. Open minds to her wisdom. Open hearts to her love. Open arms to her presence.
God, may we cherish our memories of Kat. May we bless her with the space she will need to start anew. May we make room in our church for all those who follow. May we receive them with gladness and joy and gratitude for the special way that pastors and people share in life's journeys together. And it is through the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. We are marked. We are marked by those who join us even for a little while. They become part of who we are. Kat's own ministry will be part of who Old South is from here on out. This week, as part of our weekly pushback initiative, this week we give thanks for Mount Vernon Church, a congregation whose generosity continues to make the generosity of Old South possible. Founded in 1842, the Mount Vernon Church closed its building at Beacon Street and Massachusetts Avenue in 1970, when its congregation entered into a lasting relationship with Old South, its members still worshiping here among us. Now, more than 50 years later, Mount Vernon's ministry reaches far beyond the building that it once called home. Their giving supports a wide range of charitable and educational work, helping students at the Benjamin Franklin Cummings Institute of Technology, supporting food access and humanitarian relief, and so much more. We're grateful that Mount Vernon reminds us that a church has never been only the walls that contain it. Its generosity continues to feed and teach, shelter, and sustain others while helping Old South do the same. Today's offering will go to support the ministry of Old South Church as we bring justice, show mercy, and offer beauty to this beautiful city. This day and every day. Take heart and hear the words of the Apostle Paul. Do not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. This morning's offering will now be given and graciously received. Would you all pray with me? Oh God, we pray that you would take these gifts, that you would multiply and bless them, that we might give all that we are and all that we have for the building up of your kingdom here on earth, that all hearts would sing your song of justice and joy for all people in all places. Oh God, we dedicate to you our gifts. We dedicate all the more to you the whole of our lives. Take us, consecrate us, and let us be an offering to you. We pray this all in the name of Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
Beloveds, after the sung response and the postlude, there is coffee just outside on the portico waiting to be drank, new friends surely waiting to be made there too. And there is also a whole world out there just waiting for you to bring love alive in it. So allow me to send you there with this one final blessing. Go in peace, go in love, go in hope. Go with the Holy Spirit who has never said no to a good adventure. Beloved ones, go in peace. Amen.